guys here. Now look at this tree. Isn't this a marvelous, magnificent tree? I want you to look at the roots that go from the top to the bottom. I tell you what, this guy isn't going anywhere. He's rooted, he's grounded, he's founded, and that's the way you need to be in the Word of God. I tell you, for the last 51 years of Third World Missionary Evangelism, it's only because I've been able to be rooted and grounded, unmovable, unshakable in faith and in the Word of God that's kept me going around the world, saved my life so many times, and I want you to get rooted. I want you to get grounded. I want you to be so rooted and grounded that you're absolutely unshakable in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. You're more than a conqueror. So all of heaven is watching the earth all the time, looking for a man or a woman that's going to use the Word of God, that's going to speak the Word of God, that's going to move on the Word of God. And when they do, heaven moves. You know, I've been a missionary for 55. This is my 56th year. And I've been overseas so many times in crusades, big crusades and stuff, where somebody out in the crowd start yelling, you know, you Americans are a bloody people. You got a bloody religion. You got a bloody God. And yeah. I always say, you're right. You're right. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when you've only got one God.
Come on.
And I go stand on the crusade platform in India, and Hindus have 330 million gods. You'd think you're outnumbered, but not so.
Come on.
And my job is to get up there and convince them that my one God is bigger and better and greater than their 330 million combined.
Yeah, come on.
And he is.
That's right.
He's the only one.
Yes, sir.
That does miracles. People have said for decades and decades, I guess maybe centuries, long before I got here, that, well, you know, the devil can do miracles. No, he can't.
Go ahead now.
No, he can't. He can do illusions and tricks and little magical, you know, things like that. He can float somebody in the air. Or he can, you know, levitate or, you know, I know witch doctors that I've cast devils out of that would send animals to kill people, you know, or animals that appear to them and disappear, you know, and I mean, the real deal. But that's not miracles.
Go ahead now. Yes, sir.
It's not miracles. You know, there's a fourth dimension over here. There's a spirit world.
Yes, sir.
Paul made that very plain to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said in verse 18, he said, while we look not, we don't look at the things we can see. Well, that sounds like double talk. We don't look at the things we can see? He said, no, you don't look at the things you can see. He said, you look at the things you can't see. He said, because the things you can see are temporary. They won't last. They'll soon be gone. They're perishable. Amen. He said, but the things you can't see in that other world, because that world's more real than this world. The things you can't see, he said, are eternal. He is very aware in trying to make us aware there are two worlds.
Yes.
See, which world are you living for? This world here is more real than this world here.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know, when heaven operates, and hell's learned to do this as well. When heaven, because you know, Lucifer started in heaven, so he knows the game plan. But when heaven wants to do something supernatural, they just step out of that world into this world and then do what they're going to do and step back into that world. It's not a long trip. It's just...
Yes, sir.
I know when Christians read the Bible and they see that an angel appeared to somebody in the Old Testament, an angel appeared to somebody in the New Testament, they think the angels had those big old wings. They just been flapping for
They've been flapping for 3 weeks trying to get where you are. He said, No. They just went.
Yeah.
And then they got their job done and went.
Yes, sir.
Jesus preached something they didn't like one time. He did that quite often. I've done it myself. And they wanted to bite him. Now, I've made some folks mad. I've run some folks off. I've put several to sleep. But I've never had a cold crowd just come. Tonight, maybe the first night, I don't know. But I've never had a whole crowd just come up after I preached and want to bite me. Yeah. It said they wanted to gnash on him with their teeth.
Yeah.
Now, I've had some demon-possessed people try that. But I don't play that either. And then they decided they'd just push him off a cliff. So they grabbed him, took him to the edge of the city, to a big high place, and just got him right to the edge of the cliff and pushed, and he wasn't there. It says he just passed through the midst of them. Well, what do you think he did? All he did is this.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
And then he walked back behind them and stepped back and went on his way. Amen. This world is more real than this world.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
And we need to understand that all through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament, that other world is there, and God's telling us about it. They just never say it.
Yes, sir.
God's not really big into, I've never figured this out, I guess because he wants us to be faith people, but God's never really big into explaining himself. Yeah. I told the Lord decades and decades ago, I was living in Tulsa, and I told the Lord, I said, you know what? If I were you, now, me and you've been running around together for a long time, but if I were you, if I was God, if I was running this thing, thank God I'm not, I said, I would show Oral Roberts, or Dad Hagen, Brother Hagen, Kenneth Hagen, I would show one of them where the Ark of the Covenant is. I said, you know where it is. Indiana Jones found it, surely. Surely you know where it is. And I said, an Oral could put it at the prayer tower on the campus. Y'all been to ORU? You know, he's got that big, beautiful, gorgeous prayer tower right in the middle of the campus. See it from everywhere. And I said, Oral could put it in the prayer tower and put a little fence around it, and you'd have take the lid off. And you'd have the Ten Commandments are in there, Aaron's rod that budded's in there, the showbread's in there, and people could come from all over the world and see it. They could just march around and say, oh, it's the Ark of the Covenant. It's the Ten Commandments. Ah, he's real, he's real, he's real. I said, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be great? And the Lord said, no. What do you mean, no? He said, that'd be sensational. And it'd be spectacular. He said, I'm not into that. I'm into the miraculous.
Oh, come on.
And I'm into faith.
Yeah.
I bless people who love me and can't see me.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
See, Hollywood's sensational and spectacular, and the church has gotten dumbed down so much over the years. Then we watch Hollywood and we think that's cool.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And God's not sensational or spectacular. He's miraculous. And we read the Old Testament and see all those miracles. And we read the New Testament and see all those miracles. And we just go,
Go ahead. Come on.
Huh? God did a miracle. And God opened a blind eye. And God raised the dead. God cast out a devil. Isn't that nice? And yet we see Hollywood. You know, years ago, my grandsons that are this big now, and some of them in the military were this big, and I was taking them deer hunting. Every year for decades and decades, between Christmas and New Year's, I usually go hunting because usually I'm a traveling minister. Usually churches don't want a travel minister in between Christmas and New Year's. And so I take that time to take my sons and later my grandsons. And then Renee's husband, Dean, who was my best friend for 40 years, he'd take their two boys. In fact, Matt was here this morning. You know, I've known Matt almost as long as you have. Matt's 52 years old, and I met him when he was, what, three?
Three.
Yeah. His brother was four. Yeah. So I've been knowing him that long as you.
Yep.
And so we'd take him hunting, deer hunting. And so this particular time, I was driving from Tulsa with four of my grandsons, little guys. And we stopped somewhere along the road early in the morning and went to Cracker Barrel, and I fed them breakfast. As we was leaving Cracker Barrel, I went to pay out, and we passed this rack of DVDs. And I happened to look at it, and I said, whoa, hey, guys, look here. I said, Papa used to watch these when I was a little boy. You guys are going to love this. And I picked up the Lone Ranger. And I picked up Gunsmoke. I picked up Sky King. I picked up Ren 10-10. I picked up Lassie. Yeah. Treasures. How many of y'all grew up on that with me?
Yeah.
Any gray-headed people in here? Yeah. And so I bought a bunch of them. Happy as a hog in the turnip patch, man. I was just so glad. We got out to the van, and I ripped one open, and I stuck it in the CD player, and I took off down the road. Right down 35 here. And in about 15 minutes, one of those guys popped up and said, Papa. I said, what, buddy? Do we have to watch this? I said, what? You don't like that? They said, no, it's boring. And immediately, Pastor, I thought, there's no special effects. They're used to watching TV and movies that when you shoot somebody, blood goes all over the wall, brains splatter on the wall. But when Matt Dillon, anybody know Matt Dillon? The marshal of where? Dodge City. Anytime Matt Dillon shot people, now he killed them, almost every shot Matt did was a kill shot. But there was never any blood. Never, 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 never a speck of blood. Never. And when a Lone Ranger shot somebody, y'all remember the Lone Ranger?
Yeah.
What was his horse's name?
Trigger.
Nope.
Nope, Silver.
Silver. Roy Rogers had Trigger.
That's right. I was close.
And Dale Evans had Buttermilk. So when the Lone Ranger and his faithful sidekick, Tonto, you're in Mexico, they can't say the Lone Ranger and Tonto. When I first went to the mission fields as a missionary and lived in Oaxaca, Mexico, and the school kids there would come in and talk to me, some little Mexican kids would come in and talk to me about that they reading this story about the Lone Ranger. I said, oh, yeah, you mean the Lone Ranger and Tonto? And they said, who? I said, you know, Tonto, his faithful Indian sidekick. They said, oh, no, and they gave me another name for him. And I said, that's not his name. His name's Tonto. But the problem is, Tonto in Spanish means what?
Dumb.
Dumb, fool, stupid.
Yeah.
So they changed his name.
Yeah.
And when the Lone Ranger shot somebody, he only shot the gun out of their hand. Every time. Not a speck of blood anywhere. So these guys, my guys, were used to blood and guts. They were used to sensational. Because Hollywood's sensational. Special effects are sensational. Renee and I was watching a movie the other night. And I mean, this car's going down the road and somebody shot it with a pistol. With a pistol.
Yeah, well.
And the car blew up. Went up in the air. Flipped over two or three times. A pistol. It's not a bazooka. It's not an RPG. Flipped over two or three times, landed on the other side of the median. Several other cars hit it. They blew up, fire everywhere. They went up in the air. They crashed everywhere. And I turned to Renee and I said, that's sensational.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's spectacular.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
What God does is miraculous, and we Christians find that boring.
Come on. Go ahead. Come on.
And that's very dangerous. When I was 25 years old, I was in a crusade, open-air crusade in San Pedro Sula, Honduras. And I had 25,000 people in the crowd every night. And I tell you, Pastor, miracles, you could not count the miracles. It was astounding. I mean, miracle after miracle after miracle after, I mean, sensational miracles. I mean, powerful miracles. I mean, spectacular miracles. I mean, wondrous miracles. I mean, miraculous miracles. And I mean, people, more blind eyes got healed in that meeting than I just lost count. They would literally run to the platform night after night. I can see, I can see, I can hear, I can hear. One lady come running up to me, a baby in each arm, little toddler guys, you know, and she said, they can hear, they can hear. Tears down. I said, I guess they were deaf. She said, yes, they were born deaf, but they can hear. Look at them here. I mean, just God, just, I mean, heaven bent low and kissed the earth, and we got caught right in the middle of the smack. It was just, I mean, miracles and miracles and miracles and miracles and miracles.
Hallelujah.
They brought a guy dying with cancer. He was in excruciating pain. They brought him on a bed, carried him on a bed, two men carrying a bed. And every time they jostled him, he cried, he hurt. He was in such agonizing pain. Skin and bones, except for his belly bloated like this. You've seen the final stages of cancer. Belly bloated like this, skin and bone everywhere else. Laid him down in front of the platform. And I saw him carry him in. I saw him. And so before service started, I went down to him to encourage him and tell him that, hey, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. As you hear the word of God tonight, faith's going to rise. And at some point during the service, your faith's going to rise to the point God's going to heal you and get you up. But accidentally, I hit his bed with my knee. And he screamed in pain. I felt so bad. I hurt the guy. Didn't mean to hurt the guy. But just jostling his bed, just... But I tell you what, right in the middle of the sermon, the Holy Ghost, I jumped off the platform about this high. And I wouldn't jump that high these days. Well, maybe with the Holy Ghost I would. But I jumped off the platform, ran over to where he was, grabbed him by the hand. I said, get up and walk in the name of Jesus, and jerked him up like that. And that guy hit the ground and ran. He didn't stop. He hit the ground and ran. They always run. I've never figured out why they run. I need to find the scripture somewhere. But they always run. And he ran. And I just stood there and watched him go. I mean, 25,000 people there. And he ran all the way that way until I couldn't see him. That way I couldn't see him. This way I couldn't see him. This way I couldn't see him. And showed back up where I was. And he came up on the platform and told the people what kind of cancer he had and how he hurt and blah, blah, blah. His shirt, he had to just take his shirt and pull it around him like this because his belly was gone. Wow. And just completely, totally, absolutely healed. See, God is a miraculous, supernatural God. Amen. He's not interested in spectacular. He's not interested in sensational. He's not interested in your life being sensational or spectacular, but he's real interested in your life being miraculous. And we've got to start coming back to the realness, authenticity of the Bible to start getting excited over miracles. Even though there's no blood and guts splattering on the wall. Now, there's lots of blood and guts in the Bible. I mean, Elijah himself with a sword killed 850 Satanists in one day.
Yeah.
Preached a message years ago called The Preacher and the Satanist. I mean, Jezebel, that wicked, perverted woman, had 450 prophets of Baal. Baal's a demon god. And 400 prophets of the groves, which is more like medicine men, you know, healers and stuff like that. And it says they ate at her table every day, so she fed them, she supported them.
Yeah.
I thank you for y'all's support, by the way. Every month I get a check from you guys, taking it around the world. You asked me about how many countries I get, and I wasn't trying to be glib or weird. I just, when I was a teenager and started going to these nations, I'd hear preachers come in and they'd say, well, I've been to 45 countries. I've been to 65 countries. I've been to 25 countries. And it was like a... And so I started checking into some of them, and actually they just stopped at the airport flying to somewhere else, but they counted that. And it just turned me off so badly. I told the Lord, I said, I'll never count. Because that's not what I'm not notching my gun. Heaven knows. I don't know. Heaven knows. But that's why I wasn't trying to be glib when you asked me how many countries you've been to. I honestly don't know. And don't want to know. Heaven knows. Hell knows. You know, they can figure it out. And Ahab... The Bible says Ahab was the worst guy on the planet ever. You ought to go read 1 Kings, about chapter, 23 or 4 or so. And it tells you that. Just flat out says Ahab was the baddest, worst guy on the planet. And nobody's worse than him except that perverted woman he's married to. And so Elijah had said... I don't know where this is going, because when I hit the pulpit, everything changed. I had something. You ought to hear what I was going to preach. It was really good. But Elijah had said, it's not going to rain except by my word. That's pretty good. So it didn't rain for 3 years, because the man of God said it's not going to rain. Until I tell it to. Now, Ahab couldn't do anything about that. Jezebel couldn't do anything about that. The weathermen couldn't do anything about it. And so they got up on the Mount Carmel. I've been to Mount Carmel. I'm sure some of y'all have. And you stand there and say, dear God, the thing that happened here. They got up there on Mount Carmel. See, that's better than sensational or spectacular. I stood there on Mount Carmel and said, oh, God, this is the place. A lot of times people talk about Israel and call it the Holy Land. You know, we're going on a Holy Land tour. You don't go to the Holy Land or I've been to the Holy Land. And I always tell people, no, it's not the Holy Land. Israel's no more holy than Texas, than your house.
Yeah.
If you live there, it's holy.
Amen.
It's not the Holy Land. It's the land of the Bible. That makes it special. It's the land of the Bible. You can go over where Jesus did things, where Elijah did things, where Paul did things, where Peter did things. Where it's the land of the Bible. You can read about it in here. I told somebody before Christmas, I said, or I may have put it on a Facebook post, I said, in a few days we're about to celebrate the birth of a little Jewish baby boy. The whole world's going to celebrate. The whole world.
Yeah.
I mean, pagans are going to celebrate. Sinners are going to celebrate. Buddhists are going to celebrate it. It was born 2,000 years ago. And yet there's idiots on television, mostly news anchors, that say that the Jews hadn't even lived in Israel since 1948. Now, wait a minute. He was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem.
Wow.
And the whole world knows it, and the whole world celebrates it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Wow.
But they hadn't lived there since Renee was born in 1948.
Well, thank you.
And I was born in 1950, so I married an older woman. And for three months, she's 2 years older than me. Because her birthday was in November and mine's not until February. So the way I usually phrase it is, you're just about to be 4 years older than me, because I go up to her next birthday and I go back to my last one. So, but they say, no, the Jews weren't here except for 1948. Wow. Well, duh. How stupid are you? And so Elijah got up there on Mount Carmel with that perverted, evil, wicked, sinner, God-hating king. And I don't know why he was even there. And talked to him. I don't know why he bothered. And he said to him, he said, I tell you what, King, why halt ye any longer between two opinions?
Right.
You say Baal's God and I say Jehovah's God, and there's not any sense in us fussing about this anymore. Let's just prove it today. Now, see, I like that kind of stuff. That's my kind of guy.
Amen.
He's just a little weak, woke. No, he's not. There wasn't anything weak or woke about Elijah.
Yeah. Come on.
Hello?
Come on.
And he was masculine, but he wasn't toxic until several hours later when he killed 850 Satanists. That was pretty toxic. That is toxic masculinity right there. And let's just prove it today. He said, how are you going to do that? He said, well, that's easy. He said, build a sacrifice. Build an altar over there. Kill a cow. Put it up on an altar. And you're 850 Satanists. Can take all the time they want. I don't care how long they take. I don't care what they do. And call on their God. And for fire to come down from heaven and consume it. And if that happens, I'll just denounce Jehovah God. And I'll become a... Yeah, I was trying to figure out a word. Couldn't have been a bowel movement. I mean, it couldn't... Had to be a bat... A Baalist, a Baal worshiper, a worshiper of Baal. What would you call them? And he said, so if Baal does it, I'll deny Jehovah and I'll become one of you idiots. He said, but it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I'll just sit here and they can take all day if they want to. I don't care what they do. And he said, then when they get tired and Baal doesn't show up, he said, now I'm going to call on Jehovah. And he's going to burn this thing up. And when he does, you guys become followers of Jehovah. So for some reason, Ahab agreed to that. I can't imagine why he agreed to it, but he did. Maybe he had faith in Baal. And so you know the story. They did it, and the Baal guys, the prophets, the demons, demon-possessed guys of Satanists, they chanted and they yelled and they screamed and they cut themselves. They were cutters. And they cut themselves, and they ripped their clothes, and, you know, they just did everything. So they were just plum-tuckered out. That's some gun smoke or, you know, wagon train or something. And so they, nothing happened. And Elijah got a little smart, sarcastic lip on him, you know, and he said, hey, where is your God? Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's taking a nap. And nothing ever happened. So finally, those guys bleeding and naked, they just, I mean, they tore their clothes off. And finally, they just, we're done. He said, all right, here's the deal. Dig a trench and pour water on that sacrifice and then pour some more water on it. I mean, it was a famine. The water was scarce, and he's pouring barrels of water until that thing was totally saturated. The ground was saturated, and the trench was full. And he said, all right, God, show out. Prove you're God. And man, fire comes down. Consumes the sacrifice, consumes the altar, consumes the grass, consumes the water in the trench, all of it. And so I don't know what happened to the agreement of if my God works, then y'all will serve him, but somehow that got out the window. And Elijah took a sword and killed those 850 Satan. That's a big job for one guy. So that had to be what? Supernatural. So what did we talk about this morning? We said the way you do everything, the way you have miracles, the way you get anything to happen, and all the guys in the Bible got stuff to happen, is you use the what? The name. And the blood. And the word. And the covenant. and the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? And all that comes together.
Yes.
It was both Old Testament and New Testament. And I said this morning, I've had people say to me, now, Brother Terry, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the blood of Jesus. They didn't have the name of Jesus. Wait, all contraire. They might not have had the name of Jesus, but they had the names of God, and he had a bunch of them.
Yep.
I mean, a bunch of them. Amen. And they had the blood. The priest used the blood all the time. It's a bloody religion. Remember that? Always has been. God said the soul that sins must die, and I require blood. I require blood. So in the Old Testament, it was the blood of goats and calves. In the New Testament, thank God, it's the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
One atoned for our sins, the other wiped them out, remission of sins. And so he kills all these guys, kills them dead. Well, I like this guy. And so Ahab, when he did it, Ahab grabbed his phone and sent a tweet. Or I guess an X. To his wife, the perverted one, and said, honey, Elijah just killed your 850 guys you feed every day. Where you get your power. Killed them dead. And so Jezebel grabbed her phone and sent Elijah a tweet. It was her last tweet. Everybody say, Jezebel's last tweet. Better watch out sending those ungodly messages. She sent Ahab a tweet. And she said, I heard what you just did. And so must the gods do to me. In other words, kill me dead. If by this time tomorrow, you're not a dead man. You are a dead man walking. This time tomorrow, you'll be dead. And if you're not, so much the gods do to me what you did to them.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah.
Jezebel's last tweet.
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold, after this great, marvelous, supernatural, miraculous, powerful, holy miracle, Elijah got scared. What? You just killed 850 Satanists. You just called fire down from heaven. You just proved to everybody that God's better than Baal, and you're scared?
Come on.
And he got scared and took off running. And he ran and ran and ran and ran and ran for miles. Outran the king's chariots. See, when I said this morning, the power of the Holy Spirit, and somebody said, "Nobody tell you they didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit back in those days." Yes, they did. The difference was in the Old Testament and the New Testament was that the Holy Spirit went before them, came behind them, overshadowed them, come up on them. But he couldn't stay because he'd kill them. Nobody that wasn't born again didn't have a recreated human spirit, could handle the Holy Spirit. That's why the Ark of the Covenant killed people if they touched it. That's why when Uzzah touched the Ark, he wasn't a bad guy. He was a good guy. Nice guy. He's just marching along there as they're taking the Ark, and the guy's carrying it kind of stumbled, and it started to fall. Well, he just automatically, instinctively, just like you would, just reached out to try to stop it and save the God's holy ark from falling, and when he touched it, he died. You could touch it today. If we brought it in here sitting here today, you could touch it. It wouldn't hurt you because you're born again.
Right.
If you're not born again, I suggest you get that taken care of.
Yeah. Amen.
Or don't you be touching holy things. It could get you in trouble. And in the New Testament, it says Christ in you.
Yes, sir.
Christ in you. Christ in you. I and my Father will abide in you, Jesus said. We live in you. Where in the Old Testament, he came on them and then had to leave.
Yeah.
So he would come on them and they'd do a miracle and he'd leave. He came up on Elijah and Elijah outran the king's chariots, but then he left.
Yeah.
He came up on Samson. Samson killed 1,000 men, the jawbone of a donkey, and he left.
Yeah.
Right? He came on people and they did supernatural acts, right, and then he left.
Yes, sir.
He couldn't stay.
Yes, sir.
But he lives in you.
Yeah. Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's the difference. And so he ran and ran and ran and ran and ran and ran and ran. Finally got to a place where there's a juniper tree, and he just exhausted, just fell down, went to sleep. While he was asleep, the angels came, baked him a cake, and brought him something to drink. You know what kind of cake they brought him? Angel food. Amen. And so when he woke up, they said, here, eat this cake. And so he ate the cake and drank the drink, and the Bible said it lasted him for 40 days.
Isn't that something?
I'd like to have some of that.
Yeah.
Lasted him. He went on that for 40 days.
Yes,
isn't that slick? See, those things are supernatural. They're not sensational. They're not spectacular. They're not Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yep, right.
But they're supernatural. See, God wants you to be supernatural. He wants you to be miraculous. He wants your life to have the miraculous, the supernatural. You're not just mere men.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
You're not supposed to think like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. You may smell like the world every now and then just because you're out and, you know, I'm a missionary. I hadn't smelled too good sometimes. But we're different. We talk different. This church even dresses different, which I highly compliment you on. You guys dress up for the house of God.
Yes, sir.
And I was impressed the first time I came here, so was Renee. Amen.
Amen.
We're different.
Amen.
We think different.
Yes, sir.
You don't think like the guy down the street. You don't talk like the guy down the street.
Right.
You meet somebody at HEB and have a conversation, it's like you're having two foreign languages.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Texan and Spanish. We talk different. We think different. Our mindset goes a different direction. We don't think impossible. We don't think impossible. We don't think impossible. We don't think it can't be done.
Hello, everyone. Terry and I are here to just say thank you. And just
thank you, thank you, thank you.
We just can't thank you enough, all of you that have partnered with Terry Mize Ministries. And all the blessing of God, we pray on every single one of you.
Amen.
Some of these are testimonies, prayer requests, notes given with offerings. There's a whole bunch of these all hidden under here from 2023. And we saw the Lord do great things, not only for us, but through you and your confidence in us and your care for the ministry. You trusted us to pray for you. You trusted us with your money. And we couldn't be more thankful and more grateful and yet very humbled.
Oh, absolutely. And both in the ministry, Terry Mize Ministries, and in our orphanage foundation,
yes,
Jackie Mize International Children's Foundation, we just finished our Christmas and had a banner year of giving to orphans for Christmas.
Yes, yes.
We just appreciate that. Thank you for it. And of course, out of TMM, we cover the expenses for the other foundation, for Jackie Mize International Children's Foundation. So thank you for giving to both of those entities,
right,
both of those ministries. We appreciate it. We pray for you every day, every day, every day. And I believe God's absolute best for you.
That's right. As we continue on now in 2024, we just want to encourage you to use your faith with ours, because we laid hands on all of these and we believe you came out of 2023 blessed, and you're coming into 2024 blessed, coming in and blessed going out.
Amen.
And that the blessing of the Lord is returned back on you in every area of your life. And God's not through. You know, it's like Brother Copeland said many years ago, we don't play nine-inning ball games. We play till we win.
Absolutely.
And so we're hanging on to these. We're laying hands on these. And we're calling your life blessed in every area. Thank you for partnering with Terry Mize Ministries.
You can give a tax-deductible donation now at TerryMize.com.